be no other. No other person, no other thing could shed their life for the remission of my sins. Everything that happened prior to Jesus was a prefigurement of things to come. There could only be one, and that one's name is Jesus. That is the one that we come in to praise and magnify this morning. That is the one that we lift up. And when I say that, I'm talking about who he is. He is the one, the true, the only Lamb of God. He is the only one whose blood was worthy to be presented to the Father for the remission of all man's sins. That's the one we praise this morning. That's the one we come in to lift up. And I don't know if it's because it's early, it's a 9 o'clock service, but I think we ought to give him praise in this place this morning. We ought to be able to lift him up this morning to let him know, Lord, we come in to magnify you. We come in to lift you up. We come in to recognize you for who you are, not just what you've done. And please believe me, he's done a lot for us, but it's not about what he does for us. It's about who he is and the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross. There is only one, and his name is Jesus, the only begotten of the Father. That's who we come in to lift up this morning. And we just thank God this morning for all of you that are here in these walls, those of you who are tuned in by webcast. We appreciate you being out with us this morning. And you may have your seats. And as you do so, I want to ask that you prepare yourself this morning for our tithe and offering. And as always, we just appreciate everyone who supports this ministry. Because it's by your support, you're holding up the arms of this ministry. You're helping us be able to go out and take God's word to the world. Helping us that there may be people that never come into these four walls, but the word is still going out to reach them. And for that, we appreciate all that you do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be in your service one more time. And I'm not just talking about being in this building in your service, but being in your service and ministry, Lord. We thank you right now for you continuing to keep your hand upon us, continuing to direct us and keep us and guide us in the way that we should go. Father, I just thank you right now for all those who support this ministry. And Lord, I just ask for those who have not touched their hearts, Lord, help them to see the vision that you have given us for this ministry. And those who have not, Lord, I ask that you touch their finances to allow them to be able to support the work of the Lord. And God, I just ask that you be in this place this morning as I speak your word. Help us, Lord, to have an eye and an ear to hear what the Spirit would have to say unto us. And God, we give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen. Praise God. You know, I have a friend that I love dearly until she gets hangry. And when she gets hangry, I don't even like to be around her. And I can tell by some of the smiles on the faces of people in here that you know what I'm talking about. And you know, hangry is a modern term that combines hungry and anger. And it describes the irritability, the frustration, the shortness of patience of someone who is hungry, who has an empty stomach. And although I said it's a modern term, hangry has been around for thousands of years. It may not have been called hangry, But when you look at the actions, you can see hangry written all over it. If you look at Exodus 15, now this is after God had delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, had brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground, and they got to Marah. And the scripture says that the waters were bitter. And they begin to murmur. Exodus 16 tells us about them being out in the wilderness. And they begin to murmur because they didn't have any bread. They were hungry. So God sent them manna. You can look at Numbers 11, 4 through 6. After they got the manna that they had murmured about and God sent and their bellies were full, they began to murmur more because they were tired of the manna. They wanted something else. They wanted meat. They're complaining, Moses, you brought us out here and we could have been sitting at the flesh pots in Egypt in bondage. Come on now. Is it worth the food in bondage? But because of God's love and his grace and his mercy, he sent them quails. So now they have flesh. They have meat. But then when you go over to Exodus 17, they're murmuring again because they want water again. And like I said, even though hangry is a modern term, it's been around for thousands of years. These people were hangry. And they were showing their irritability, their frustration, because their bellies were feeling a lack. But even after their bellies got full, they were never fulfilled. And let's look at John 6. Because you see, the wilderness isn't just about history. But that wilderness journey, it was a prophecy. When you look at the water that came out of the rock, that was Jesus. You look at the manna that God gave them, that was Jesus. You look at the quail, the flesh, the meat, that was Jesus. It wasn't just history. But it was prophecy showing what was to come. And you know, the scripture tells us that there was a foreshadow of things, sacrifices, bulls, goats, turtle doves. But they were not the true sacrifice. And when you look at how God sustained them, that was a foreshadow of what was to come. And maybe I should say it was a foreshadow of who was to come. And that who is Jesus? And here in John 6, we look at this in John 6, starting at verse 30. And it focuses on Jesus being the bread of life. And it looks at the contrast between the natural bread and the spiritual bread. And as you look and see, there's a similarity. Starting in verse 30, this is after Jesus had already fed the 5,000. He had already performed a miracle which provided bread and meat to the masses. So he had already performed this miracle. Verse 30 says, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What does thou work? He had just shown them. I just fed 5,000. What more do you want? But you know how we are. We want more, more, and more. And even when we get more, it does not mean that we will believe. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So the Jews that Jesus was talking to, they could agree that their fathers did eat manna from heaven. But they were giving Moses the credit for giving him that manna. But Jesus is saying, yeah, your fathers did eat manna in the desert. But it didn't come from Moses. The manna came from my Father. And right now we live in a time that God is pouring his spirit out. He is sending his word. He's sending the bread of life, which is Jesus. But it's a matter of whether or not we choose to partake of that bread. And so they could see that something had been done for their fathers. They knew that something had been done just recently with the 5,000. But yet they were still looking for something more. If that does not sound like us today, we are still looking for something more. When we have Jesus right in front of us, but yet we're still reaching for prophet over here, evangelist over there, touch my head, lay me out, blow on me. We're looking for all of these things that will not fulfill us. Because Jesus is the only one who can fulfill the need that man has. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now, before I get any farther into this message, I want to encourage each and every one of you in here, those of you who are tuned in on the webcast, finish out this chapter. Go all the way down. Read it for yourself. See what he says. Don't just stop at, I am the bread of life. Because there's so much more in this chapter. There's so much more that is going to be said. And I don't know if I can get to all of it. And that's why I'm encouraging you, just in case I don't, go home and finish reading the chapters. So when he said, when they said, show us a sign, he had already given them a sign. And as I said, just because you get a sign does not mean that you're going to believe. Just because you get a sign does not mean that you're going to be filled. You can get a sign and then you go back to doing the same thing that you did. You go back still being hangry because you've been full, but you're not fulfilled. And the only way that we can get fulfilled is by having Jesus in our life. So when you look at Jesus telling them, yes, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gave it. He's making references back to Exodus in November. Ooh, I've got Thanksgiving on my brain or something. Numbers. Where God rained bread down from heaven. He gave them water. He gave them quail. And all of this, Jesus was pointing back to the Father. And he was doing that to get to the point that not only did the Father provide for them in the wilderness, but the Father is providing for them right now. The Father is providing for us right now. And that provision is Jesus. That provision is the bread of life. That provision is the only thing that is going to knock away the hangries. As I said, you know, our nation is hangry. We have food stores, restaurants, Uber Eats, DoorDash, everything at our fingertips. So we have plenty of natural food that we can eat, just like the children of Israel had natural food that they could eat. We have basically in our nation, and some other countries too, I've seen, a church on every corner, sometimes two or three. You can just drive down the street and whatever flavor you want, you can pull in and go get whatever it is that they're feeding. But just because they're providing a meal, it does not mean that that meal is fulfilling. It does not mean that that meal is going to be the provision that you need. And you know, I think about that when you think about the nutrition in our nation today. Oh, it's bad. And I'm not pointing at anybody, because please believe me, I like a good bag of Cheetos, Lay's, give me a couple of Snickers bars, some peppermint patties. I like the bad stuff too. Okay, I sometimes go to McDonald's, get me a Big Mac, large fry. You know, what can I say? But that does not mean that it is the best thing for my body nutritionally. And so saying that, like I said, there's a church on every corner, but that does not mean that that is the best thing for us spiritually, nutritionally. That is not going to take away the hanger that we have. And you know, when I seen the definition of hangry, like I said, I thought about my friend. I love my friend. But when she gets hangry, she is mean and nasty. And I'm not exaggerating. And it's like, okay, girl, I don't have time for this. But you look at our nation. Our nation is hangry. We get mean and nasty. And now we're, you know, we're reaching out at somebody or striking out at somebody or trying to pull somebody down. And it's because spiritually we are not fulfilled. And the only way that we will be fulfilled is by having Jesus as the bread of life. You know, I had a situation here that just happened a couple of weeks ago. And another friend, I know, don't y'all go home and go, I wonder what kind of friend Sister Lincoln got. But it was told to me that my friend had to be rushed to the emergency room because her blood pressure had gotten so high that they thought she was going to stroke out. So they got her to the emergency room, and the doctor was giving her some medication to bring it down so that she didn't get a stroke. Now, what I'm about to say, I am not lying. I am not exaggerating. Unless the person that told me, who I trust, was lying and exaggerated to me. The nurse came in to give her the pill that she needed to take to bring her blood pressure down. And the nurse gave her a carton of orange juice to take the pill with. And my friend said, oh, no, I can't drink that. That's not the brand that I buy. I know. I'm going, girl, they trying to save your life. And you're talking about that's not the brand that I buy. We laugh at that. But we have Jesus right in front of us. But we don't want to take him because he's not the brand that we want. He doesn't look like the way that we want him to look. He does not do what we want him to do. And you know, that's part of the reason that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and a lot of the Jews had when Jesus came, because he didn't look like the way that they thought he should look. He didn't come the way that they thought he should come. You know, here he is. He's born in a manger. What kind of king is that? What kind of Messiah is that? Here he is. He's turning the other cheek. He's healing the folks. He's raising the dead. But he's not killing the Romans. That's what we want. So we want Jesus to fit into whatever mode we like. We want him to be our convenience. That's not the kind of bread that I like, because I only like Wonder Bread. Or I'm from Texas, so I only eat Mrs. Baird's. So this is the wrong kind of bread. But if we don't take in the bread of life, we have no life. You know, when the children of Israel were eating the manna was sustaining them physically, but it wasn't sustaining them spiritually. And we have to realize, when we talk bread, you know, I just made the joke about Mrs. Baird's and what was the other, Wonder? I say that because I really don't like white bread, so I have to think about what kind of bread I'm talking about. But we have to realize our bread is not bread. Our bread is a person. And that person is Jesus. And you know, as I continue to read these scriptures, and Jesus is explaining that his Father is giving them the bread that came down from heaven. Basically, he's saying, my Father is giving you me. And I thought it was interesting, because here we have a group of people that have been raised by the law, and they know the law. So they know about the different types of offerings that were required. You know, we tend to focus in on the bullocks and the goats and the turtle doves and the blood. And yes, the blood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. However, I think we tend to overlook the meal offering. Because the meal offering was required with the blood offering. And when we look at the blood offering, we look at the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross for our sin. But we need to look at the meal offering and see that he said, I am the bread of life. And we have the meal offering and the blood offering coming together. We have that perfect sacrifice. Then you look at his flesh. It was his flesh that was nailed to the cross. So we have a blood offering, a meal offering, a flesh offering, and all of it points to Jesus. All of it is Jesus. And it's through those sacrifices, it's through our willingness to be able to partake of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And that's further on in the scripture. When we partake of that, and I'm not just talking about a communion service. I'm talking about an everyday activity in our life. That we are willing to partake of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Spending time in his word. Spending time on our face in prayer, on our knees or walking or however it is that we pray. But spending time with him to partake of what we need to sustain us. Because you see, what was given in the wilderness sustained them for those 40 years that they were out there walking around. However, what is given to us isn't just going to sustain us for 40 years, or it isn't just going to sustain us for this lifetime. But as we partake of Jesus being the bread of life, as we partake of the sacrifice that he paid on Calvary's cross, then we will be fulfilled. We will not have those hangries. And if sustains us not just during this lifetime, but for all eternity. He said, if a man eats my flesh and drinks my blood, then it's going to take you through. You're going to live eternally. However, if you don't, you have no part with him. So it's not just a matter of being able to say, oh, I go to this church, because who knows what's going on in that church. You know, they may have a great worship service, which is good, because those of you who know me, I love some worship because God has been good to me. But I can only worship because of the word. If I didn't have a word, then my worship is in vain. My praise is in vain because I don't know what I'm doing. Other than I can go to a nightclub and jump up and down and shout and move around. But when I have the relationship with Jesus, when I thank God for what he has done in my life, that's what allows me to praise him. That's what allows me to worship him. Now, I'm not saying this is scripture, and I'm not saying no great man of God has ever said this, but I'm just going to tell you what I believe. And I believe if I am unable to worship him, then I am unable to praise him. You know, and I say that coming out of churches where that was all we did. I mean, we could shout up a storm. But then when the storm came, did we have anything that was going to help us stand? Nothing. The devil could come in, blow, and we'd be falling down. But I learned when I worship him and recognize him for who he is, when I recognize him for what he has done, and I'd like to take it personal for me, and I always say, y'all just get the benefit because he did it for me, but okay, he did it for all mankind. That allows me to move from worship to praise. That gives me something to praise about, knowing who he is, knowing what he has done. Knowing that I do not have to walk around hangry. And it hurts my heart as I look at our nation. And I'm not getting political, okay? And just see the state that we're in now. And the fact that we have left God. And we were a nation that was built on God. And even though our money's not worth much of anything, it does still say, in God we trust. But do we really trust him? Do we really believe in him? And it's because we are yet hangry. We are yet looking to be fulfilled. We are yet not in a place where we have truly accepted God in our nation, in our lives, in our families. We have to get to that place to where we allow him to come in and fulfill us. Because if we do not, we have nothing. We have nothing. We have nothing as an individual. We have nothing as a family. We have nothing as a nation. We have nothing as a world. And our only answer is in the bread of life. And that bread of life is Jesus. Our only answer is eating his flesh, drinking his blood, partaking of him. And you know, there's a saying, you are what you eat. And you know, we say that in the natural. Hence going back to my potato chips and Cheetos and Snickers, and I am what I eat. But spiritually, we are what we eat. If we eat junk, our spirit man is going to be junk. But if we eat Jesus, if we eat the word of God, he said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. If we eat his word, if we allow his word to be ingested in us, we can digest it. we can move it around. And then those things that normally have us up in a tizzy, so to speak. Whew. And if you've ever had that one trial that you have gone through over and over and over and over again. Okay, y'all looking at me like I'm the only one that has ever had to go through that. Because I have one. And I'm talking to God. I'm like, oh, Lord, I don't want to go through this again. And, you know, and I can see all the areas that I need to change so that the next time, because there will be a next time, I can allow the word to stand up and all will be well. Because I've gotten the word. And please believe me, I'll be trying to get as much of the word as I possibly can because I know this is coming on me again. But if I have nothing in me, if I don't have anything in me to be able to stand up against whatever it is, I've lost it. I continue to lose the battle over and over and over. And I just want to say, if I went to the gym and all of my meals were potato chips, Cheetos, Snicker bars. So y'all are learning what I really like now, okay? Doritos. Don't everybody bring it all in next Sunday, but you know, a couple of bags. No, I'm just joking. But if I only ate junk, my muscles have nothing to work with. It will not do me any good at all. But if we only eat junk spiritually, our muscles have nothing to work with. We will remain hangry. Our nation is going to remain hangry as long as we do not partake of the bread of life. As long as we do not eat his flesh and drink his blood, we will have no part in him. And if we have no part in him, we have nowhere to go. So this morning, I just want to encourage us. Think about what you're eating. Not just naturally, but I do want to throw in that is important, but spiritually. And when you look at the children of Israel, the water pointed to Jesus, the bread pointed to Jesus, the flesh pointed to Jesus, everything pointed to Jesus. And we need to look at our life. Is our life pointing to Jesus? Is the water that we're taking in pointing to Jesus? Is the bread that we're eating pointing to Jesus? Is the flesh that we're consuming pointing to Jesus? If it isn't, we will remain hangry. Our bellies may be full of junk, but our spirit is not fulfilled. And the only way that our spirit will be fulfilled is by partaking of Jesus. And so I want to ask this question. Are you going to be spiritually nourished? Or are you going to be spiritually hangry? Take that thought with you this morning. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you once again, Lord, for the opportunity of being in this place. God, we just ask that you help us to look to you, the bread of life. Help us, Lord, to recognize you and to be able to partake, not just on a communion Sunday, but every day of our life, to eat your flesh, drink your blood, so that we can have a part within you. And God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Father, once again, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that has come forth from this pulpit, Lord Jesus. We just ask that you help us, Lord, to feed on you, Help us to put aside everything that is not good for our spirit, and help us to actually dig into you and to actually feed on you and to learn of you. Father, give us a true appetite for your word, for your presence, and for your truth. Lord, we know that we cannot do these things by our own flesh. We know that we truly have to humble ourselves and simply come hungry, knowing that only you can truly satisfy us. So once again, Lord God, we just thank you for this message. We thank you for the truth. We ask that you just give us hearts to actually practice what we've heard. Once again, Father, we love you and we give you all the praise and all the glory. Amen. 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 As always, it is a good reminder to feed on Christ, because only he can truly satisfy who we were made to be. Amen. Amen. So real quick, of course, if you haven't given, please feel free to do so now. We always need your support and help to push out the gospel. And last but not least, on March 29th, both services, we will be taking our communion. So definitely feel free to be here for that. That's both services at the start of the service, I think right after worship. So please do come out for that as well. With that being said, you are dismissed. Have a blessed Sunday, and see you guys on Wednesday.